what's going on? So before I get into today's episode, I need to share my contact information if you want to write me, send comments, introduce yourself, whatever it is. Best email to reach me at is ecovillagelibrary@gmail.com. You know, I try to do social media, but, you know, for me, I realize at the end of the day, it just is not working. And here's why. You know, for me, it's been like, you know, trying to deliver a package to somebody who works in the greatest M&M store of all time and not getting distracted nor tempted to, you know, munch away or look at, you know, the shiny M&Ms, especially if you're fasting and whatnot. So I feel like social media, in a sense, is like that for me. You know, there's so many distractions, temptations. It's a tool. It's a very useful tool. But in my case, I haven't been able to make that tool work for me because I would go in with a mission in mind. And then I would see something that catches my attention. Like, what's going on in this place? This person said, what? Oh, how dare. Oh. And the next thing you know, time passes and you've just, you know, lost those precious hours. Time that you'll never get back. The only resource you'll never get back. But that's just in my own personal experience. There are probably many other people there who know how to manage themselves in this sense. But I personally can't. I've tried. And so long story short, I'm just sticking with old-fashioned letter writing or emails. You know, so best place to contact ecovillagelibrary@gmail.com. So we are going to be talking today about ecological wetland treatment systems with a book called Permaculture Guide to Reed Beds, Designing, Building, and Planting Your Treatment Wetland System. Bom dia, buenos dias. Welcome to Eco Village Library. I'm your host, Christopher Kinney. And here I divulge everything sustainable living related, sustainable development related, anything relating to your own resilience, the resilience of you, your community, your family, what have you. I'm here to talk about it in the form of book reviews or article reviews or any kind of reviews, anything relating to this area that it's crucial in our time of day today. So today's book is about ecological wastewater treatment, utilizing permaculture concepts. In case you're not too familiar with permaculture, it's essentially a whole systems design approach working with rather than against nature. Permaculture is information and imagination intensive. What is produced, the yield, is only limited by the information and the imagination of the designer. David Holmgren, Mollison's co-creator of this whole permaculture concept, provided an outline of the 12 principles of permaculture to keep in mind whenever designing. You know, so here it is. One is observe and interact. Two, catch and store energy. Three, obtain a yield. Four, apply self-regulation and accept feedback. Five, use and value renewable resources and services. Six, produce no waste. Seven, design from patterns to details. Eight, integrate rather than segregate. Nine, use small and slow solutions. As Bill Mollison had once said, although the world's problems may be growing ever more complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. 10. Use and value diversity. 11. Use edges and value the marginal. And 12. Creatively use and respond to change. So, keeping all of this in mind as we proceed with creating our treatment wetlands, we want to strive for simplicity in the design process. You know, like avoid electricity if you can, or minimize or avoid completely any plastic liner and or concrete if you can. But again, if you can. So it's got to be appropriate as well. And, you know, maybe it would be better to use only a dry toilet for your waste and use a rebed only for gray water, which is the water that comes from your bath, sinks, washing machines, and other kitchen uses. Now remember, change whatever the pollution is and create a resource opportunity. All of our waste conventionally treated as pollution are nutrients that can be recycled and help us obtain a yield of whatever it is that we are producing at no cost. This creates a solution, which may be compost, rich soil, water conservation, to a problem which typically becomes polluted rivers and groundwater. Building a wetland on your site is a very attractive option as to wastewater treatment, whether that's wastewater from your toilets, kitchens, baths. It can handle it all depending on how you design the system. It all depends on context. First step of permaculture design is observe and interact. There's the golden rule you hear a lot, that the wise thing to do is to wait a year before building anything permanent. This gives you the opportunity to observe any given site during all days of the year. This gives you deep knowledge and understanding. So your first step is to really figure out what the site has to offer. Where are its boundaries? What is the overall shape and topography? What is the wind doing? What weather patterns predominate? What vegetation is present in abundance? What are the streams, springs, damp patches, humps, and hollows? Where are they? The well-thought-out answers to these questions will help you to form the most appropriate and effective treatment design for your waste. For example, if you notice that during most days of the year that the wind blows toward your neighbor Rick, for example, you know, don't place your treatment system where it will bombard him with your poopy odors. Think, where is the best place I can put this thing, and how may I even control the treatment such that no one can really smell it? Whatever you do, just remember to never pour any bleach or any other cleaning chemical through the system, as this will annihilate the treatment bacteria leading to excessive odor generation. Now, the key here is to keep your treatment bacteria as healthy and happy as you can. But for now, we are still interacting with the site and learning all that we can first. We need as much data as possible. You know, so the shovel here will be your bestest of friends. You'd want to dig many testing holes around the site, at least a foot or two into the ground. Save different sample points of your soil to test later as to figure out, you know, the soil composition. Pour water into these holes and see how fast they percolate. Remember, observe and interact as much as you can. Now, look at the soil you have collected. How does it feel? What color is it? If you can see a few colors, then maybe that would suggest an indication of high groundwater levels in the winter. Where is the groundwater table usually at? If it's up too close to the surface, then this could be a problem, especially if you're using a plastic liner or plastic septic tanks, which can lift up, break all your pipes, and cause a big mess. Also, how deep is the bedrock, if there is any? You know, so same principles apply here. Look for a good amount of depth of unsaturated soil. Now, you may say, you know, my site is very small. There are not many options of locations to choose from, and that's okay. In this context, strive for a composting dry toilet and use the rebed to only filter gray water. The design for this will be less stringent. If you got a little more space, check out how the existing drainage behaves. You know, this is easy to see whenever the rain comes pouring down, but, you know, not necessary. Look at the topography. Where do you already see where the low points are at? How steep are the slopes? Also, take special note of any streams, rivers, lakes, and wells in the area, which will influence where you put your system and to what degree you will have to treat it. And wells are a big one. If there's no way around this, like with a small site, for example, you'd want to ensure you're treating your final effluent with UV filters or other forms of sterilization to avoid bacterial contamination. So take special note of the existing vegetation. You know, these are always good indicators. Know your plants. If you see like all the rushes or iris, then these will quickly tell you where the soil is usually wet. Vegetation like bracken, common ragwort, and creepy thistle will quickly show you the areas that are almost dry. And mind you, this author is from Ireland, so these are, you know, the vegetation commonly he encounters in Ireland. So, you know, apply these concepts to where you live. And, you know, so with in regards to vegetation identification, this is all very good information to know. You know, wet soils often overlie heavy clay, which can act as a natural liner and thus save you from bringing in that plastic. However, it is drier soils that are generally the place to find suitable percolation rates. The permaculture principle active here is that everything works both ways. Whatever your soil, find what is of benefit to you and work with that. Given your site analysis, you will ultimately find your sweet spot as to what you may prefer or what is of higher priority. Just like in our own lives, we have choices available for us to make at every single hour of every single day, every single second of every single day, microsecond. Our decisions are based on, ultimately, our priorities and preferences. So as for designing your treatment wetland system, the first fork in the road will be the choice of choosing a flush toilet or a dry toilet. There are many compelling reasons to decide with either or. You know, with a dry toilet, you'll have guaranteed groundwater protection. That's a given. Recycled biomass, captured nutrients, and water conservation. Now, with a flush toilet, you'll have the convenience and ease and familiarity of use. And from my experience, dry toilets are a little getting used to. I remember I had to shovel out an entire chamber of uncomposted poop in a failed dry toilet system on a farm I was working on in Portugal. This was because there was an overload from a big gathering of people, and it was horrible. But that's not also to deter you from creating a dry toilet system. It's all about management, maintenance, and being on top of it, and careful design. It's just a mix of a whole bunch of things. And so a flush toilet would just consume more water in the same situation that you would have a dry toilet. So it all depends on your context, you know. So that's why high stress is placed on observing and interacting. Spend time with your site before doing anything permanent. So now we got our site figured out and had cleared up some of our choices. Now, how much is this thing going to cost? Well, let's break it down. We got the physical parts to pay for. We have to install those parts, so there are some construction elements to the cost. And depending on where you live, there may be professional fees for planning and design. And the construction and the design cost can be knocked out of the way if you could do it all yourself. You could do it all in-house. That would be preferred if you want to save money rather than time or whatever. And these elements will comprise of your capital cost. The rest you will deal with will be determined by how well the system is designed, built, and managed. When you begin to design, ask where the effluent will be going after it's been treated. Will it discharge to a river or stream, or will it percolate back into the groundwater supply? If you can percolate it back into the groundwater, your treatment requirement will generally be less. Or if you would like to discharge all your effluent into the air via evapotranspiration, plant willow trees where it can soak it all up, but not too close where the roots can grow into the system and clog it up. This option will also yield you some firewood and could also separate the system smells from your neighbor Rick over there. But if you find out quickly that your neighbor Rick works for the local government and demands an explanation because he hasn't seen anything like this before, don't give in to your immediate temptation to get angry and start hating. No, this is a golden opportunity to present your case, which needs to be heard by these guys. I know it's easy to want to hate on your local government, but trust me, it's better to have them on your side. The system is what it is. The best way through, in this case, is to be as educated as you possibly can and have effective and empathetic communication skills. Okay, so let's get into some heavy-duty technicalities now. It's important to know the basics of wastewater treatment, and the first step is to know what kind of wastewater are we treating. Generally, there are three types of wastewater. The first type is known as black water, which comes from the toilet and carries away your poop. The second type is gray water, which comes from the sinks, washing machines, showers, baths, etc. And the third type is stormwater, which carries with it pollutants from any pathway, street, driveway, roof, etc. These wastewaters are treasures. They're loaded with nutrients that can fuel plant growth. But on the other side of the token, when they are left unhandled and allowed to enter any water body, their nutrient load can cause algae blooms and suffocate any fish population there is. The main ones we're talking about here are nitrogen and phosphorus. Then there are heavy metals, which predominantly come from the gray water source. And interestingly, according to a Swedish study, mercury waste is found to be prevalent in black water. Now think about that for a minute. That just indicates how filled up we are as humans with this stuff, with mercury, especially if you have dental fillings, which thankfully I got mine out a year ago. But, you know, things to think about. So generally, every sewage system requires that there may be a primary treatment stage. This is always some kind of settlement, which you'll see oftentimes with septic tanks, which hold your wastewater, allowing the solids to sink to the bottom and the fats to float to the top, and allowing the clearest effluent to flow onward to the next stage. The next stage is the treatment stage, which involves adding oxygen. This is where your constructed wetland will work its magic. In reed beds and wetlands, plants introduce oxygen to the root zone as they grow, which effectively encourages the microbes to treat the waste. After this stage, you may find yourself needing another stage of treatment depending on your soil depth and local environmental conditions. This is called tertiary treatment. Then finally, you have what's called final disposal, which relinquishes the treated wastewater back into the environment. Again, this could be either to the groundwater via percolation, direct discharge to any surface body water, or it could be disposed into the air via evapotranspiration by some willows, for example. So to remember this sequence, just remember this. Like a good story, any good treatment system will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. The beginning is the pre-treatment system. The middle is the wetland or rebed itself. And in the end is the disposal system. As you design, don't be worried if you spend a whole lot of time thinking about this. In fact, it's encouraged. The more time you spend thinking about it, the better. The whole idea is to set it up the best you can so as to not have to add much energy into it in the future. So let's take a deeper look now into the theory and practice of constructed wetland systems. You know, how do they really work? Well, first, they help slow the flow of the wastewater and allow the fine sediments to settle out. Since wetland plants have the ability to draw oxygen from their leaves and send them down to their roots, aerobic bacteria thrive there. And these guys are the ones that clean the effluent passing through the system. This filter can also be in the form of, you know, leaf litter and soil-based wetlands without gravel reed beds. You know, all the plants growing in any of these systems take up the nutrients provided by the wastewater and grow in abundance. As for pollutants and heavy metals, they are typically trapped as they stick to the plant material, gravel or soil, whatever you may have. As they are trapped and time passes by, what happens is a series of a natural chemical process, oxygen redox reactions, that dilutes the concentrations of these pollutants. But don't worry, we won't go in chemistry in this. And this is the only chemistry you need to know. So as for the type of wetland system you design, it's important to familiarize yourself with three types to choose from. So the first type is where the wastewater is exposed to the surface like a pond and can be a soil-based wetland without having to use gravel. This is known as free water surface wetlands. These are the closest to natural wetlands in appearance and are generally the most cost-effective option where heavy clay subsoils are already present on site to seal the system. The second type is where the wastewater is not exposed to the surface, which is especially advantageous where mosquitoes or malaria may be a problem. And this is referred to as horizontal subsurface flow wetlands or gravel reed beds. This type typically requires some form of a plastic liner and a more stringent settlement system to ensure that the gravel beds won't get clogged. You know, this would be terrible to have to continually replace, but one of their advantages is that they don't require as much space. And finally, the third treatment type is known as vertical flow wetlands or vertical flow reed beds. You know, they are typically used in conjunction with the other two types and are commonly used right after the septic tank to provide a short, sharp burst of initial aeration and treatment. They are particularly good at stripping ammonia from the septic tank effluent, which is the smelly component of the wastewater. And every type has the potential to be low cost, low tech, highly efficient, and require zero energy input. They can be used in combination with each other and or pond or willow areas, etc. You know, there's many combinations to choose from. Now, there's no one definite answer to how this could all be carried out, as the options of choices to make are plenty. I really like the idea, personally, of using a dry composting toilet for the yuckiest of waste and thereby saving on water, and to use a wetland treatment system for gray water, which will reduce the required size by, you know, up to a half. And then have a stormwater pond wetland that can also provide a nice buffer for any flooding, droughts, etc. Now, in terms of the content of the book I have here, you know, we just barely scratched the surface. I felt like I was just getting way too technical. So let me know what you think. If you like, you love the technicalities, let me know. If not, you know, whatever. This is geared towards you. So let me know what you prefer. And so with this book, a huge chunk of the material gets really deep with design and sizing and everything else you could possibly want at your fingertips as you begin designing and building your own waste system. And I could get deep into this too, but I feel this could be a good stopping point. If you want more, let me know, and I can make maybe even a part two of this. You know, I love this stuff. I could talk about it all day long, but for now, I'll wrap it up with a quote I stumbled upon that says, "The major problems in the world are the results of the difference between how nature works and the way people think." So, to wrap it up, what treatment system do you think would be the most appropriate for you in your situation? Let me know, email, comment section, and until next time, much love. Ciao, ciao.